Welcome back. We're still talking to writers, and they're writing for an audience that is on the cusp between childhood and adulthood. It's a young adult audience. And if you could please introduce yourself to our audience and talk about what's your most recent book or what you're going to be talking about tomorrow at the book festival.
Well, my name is Edward Averett. My latest novel is called Cameron and the Girls, which is a story about a 14-year-old boy who has what's called schizophreniform disorder, which is a type of schizophrenia. And he has kind of a love triangle going with two girls, one who is a real girl in his class and one who is a girl in his head and a voice that he hears.
Fascinating. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
My name is Terry Truman, and this is, my third year or so here. If I can stay out of jail this time, I should be good. I think that'll help a little bit to be invited back yet again. My work, it's funny. I think that I know both Edward's and Tori's work matches this too. I don't write for young adults. I don't. My books are marketed for teens and young adults. Mm. I write for smart readers. And I kind of determine who's a smart reader. If they like my stuff, they're a smart reader. If they don't like it, then yeah, I'm not as interested in them. So, you know, I think that my work tends to speak to the human dilemma, to situations that aren't really tied closely to the business of aging. Anybody, you know, my books could be about older people or younger people, but they're teens because that's about my emotional maturity level.
Okay, well, welcome to the show, Terry. And
thanks.
That's an interesting approach to it, that it's you're writing about teens, but it's for anyone to read.
Yeah, but these guys, same story. I mean, we write for smart readers.
All right, great.
My name is Tori Maldonado, and I've been teaching for 16 years. And I write for a young me. When I was a boy, I was a reluctant reader, and I also was at one point a non-reader. And I had decided that if I wrote a book, I wanted to write a book that a young me would not want to put down. And I joke about this all the time. I say I wanted my book to be the Willow Smith video where she, I whip my hair back and forth. And the reason why is because at the very beginning of that video, everything is bland. The school environment is boring. And my 16 years of teaching has taught me two things. Either one, a lot of young people don't like to read, or two, if they do like to read, they like to read the books that I like to read too. They transported me away from my zip code and put me in a world of fantasy. But when they returned me to my neighborhood, I didn't have the skills to handle conflicts in school and in my neighborhood and my family. So I wanted to write a book that kids would pick up, and it felt so engaging. It felt like a party. But when they closed the book, they could make better choices and relationships across the board.
Well, that's a great, and the great segue is you talked a little bit about your personalizing. So Tori talked about that. Do you want to all talk about kind of how much of yourself, how much of these teenage teenage is the word that teenagers don't like, and I don't blame them. How much of your own young adulthood experiences play into your books?
Practically all of it. I was a very smart young kid, but I was a bit of a bumbler socially. And I had some things happen in my family while I was growing up that were a little difficult to handle. And writing about it, I started writing when I was 11 years old, tried writing novels. I got about 12 pages and, you know, got bored. But writing helped me get through some of those times. It was an outlet to understand those things. And I think it's important right now for people to have an outlet themselves, as in reading, to understand the problems that are going on in their families, in their lives in general.
Mm. This is Terry Truman again. All my books come out of things that have actually happened to me much more recently in my life. They aren't things that happened to me as a teenager. Actually, when I was a teenager, I always wanted to be a writer. But I mostly just wanted to be famous and be kind of rich and drive a Corvette and kind of be known. I just wanted beautiful librarians, English teachers to want to touch the hem of my garment. And that was more interesting to me than typing, you know, or writing. In fact, I never took a typing or keyboarding class. But then cards were dealt me in life. My first son was badly brain injured. I wrote my first novel. It's called Stuck in Neutral, and it's about his brain injury and about what imaginary version of what his life could be like. All my books have a core central theme that's important to me in terms of demonstrating the human capacity to overcome extremely difficult things. And all my protagonists are teenage boys so far, telling the stories from their own insides. So, yeah, it relates, but it's the human condition is the subject of all of our work for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. This is Tori Maldonado again. And first, I want to give a shout out to the Hudson community. I got a chance to be with some middle school students today. And when I told them that I know this person, that my sister was his daycare teacher, all the kids immediately looked at me with this expression that said, "Forget you. Can you get me his autograph?" Carmelo Anthony. My sister was his daycare teacher. And he is like the characters in this book in the sense that he's half black, he's half Puerto Rican, and that is also the mix that makes up me. So navigating that duality in both worlds, it was a challenge, that identity journey. And so the book mirrors my life in the sense that it really is a quest for this boy to understand who he is and that he's not one thing, that he is a multiplicity. He's like, there's the Rihanna song, "Shine Bright Like a Diamond," that he's a diamond and that he needs to shine all of his facets. Another thing, another way that this book is deeply personal is that the book is set in the same neighborhood that Carmelo and I grew up in the Red Hook housing projects. And today I had to correct myself because I said I'm from Red Hook and someone started treating me like I was the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. Apparently there's a Red Hook up here. And you probably have money in your family. And I said, no. I came from a Red Hook that's a little bit more G-Unit and hood. So my book is deeply personal because it mirrors my own life. It comes from the environment that I grew up in. And I have to say this, and we were joking about this earlier. When I told my mother that I was publishing Secret Saturdays, she wasn't happy. And later, I figured out why. She looked me square in my eyes and she said, "You better not be talking about my family." Fortunately, I managed to write about our family in a way that she doesn't see that we're talking about some parts of our family. So, Mommy, if you're listening, it's about those people, not those people.
Terry, or do you guys want to talk? Edward, do you want to talk about, does that happen to you as well? I mean, you're writing about personal stuff, personal parts of your life, and does it ever bring in your...
Yeah, my book, Cameron and the Girls, originally was titled The Boy Who Sat on Eggs because there was a member of my family when I was growing up who would take eggshells and glue them together and take them out and put them in a nest and sit on them. And his expectation was that they were going to hatch for him. And so I had this personal experience in writing about that sort of thing.
So. Yeah, I mentioned that all my books have come out of things that have happened more during my adult life. It's funny, when you just sit around not really wanting to write but wanting to be famous for writing, of course nothing ever happens. You have to learn to love writing. You have to learn that there's something in your story that can really touch people, can really change them. And I wouldn't trade – I mean, I would happily trade – all the things that have occurred for me, and there's a lot of wonderful things because of my work, but I'd happily trade all of that to not have had some of those things happen, to not have my first son be brain injured, to not have my stepson commit suicide, to not have those things happen. I'd trade all of this in a heartbeat for that. That's not the way it works. Get on your knees, beg anybody anywhere, up the scale, down the scale, God, Satan, anybody in between. You got to play the cards you're dealt in the whatever Red Hook neighborhood you actually come from. Those are what you have to do. God, I'm inspirational, aren't I?
Yeah, the people in the studio can't see that we're all smiling and we're happy at everything that comes out of Terry's mouth.
Yes,
he's awesome.
That's true. I guess I wasn't articulating my question. I don't think I articulated it right. Have you ever had the pushback from family members on you know, writing stuff that's, hey, wait a minute, that might include us. That might be a little personal. I mean, Tori clearly has.
Tori has. This is Ed Averett, and it's kind of the same way with my family. I don't think they realize what I'm writing and that I'm writing about them. So I am getting away with it so far.
I've exchanged families about every few years all my life. From
Yeah, that's expedient.
I mean, yeah, it worked out really well for me. You know, which wife and which divorce do you want to talk about? You know, in terms of some of these things. But my son Sheehan's mother, Leslie, is just a saint and an incredibly wonderful, great person who is very loving and supportive of my writing about our son. And my wife, Patty, doesn't read my stuff. She says, I criticize you so much in every aspect of life. If I criticize you in this, too, I know you'd dump me. So that's not true. I'd never dump her. But hopefully she never catches on to me either, so we'll be okay. But, yeah, I mean, people don't push back usually. I mean, they really – there's an honor. It's like having your photograph taken. Right. Dan Arbush used to talk about that. There's something so honoring in just asking a person if you can take their photograph. You're documenting this person's being. And it's really important. It happens in literature, too.
Well,
yeah, I'd like to say something that was said in an earlier segment. Someone was talking about the trade secrets that are shared here at the Hudson Book Festival. This festival is, as my students would say, off the chain. It's off the hook. It's one of the best festivals that I've been in. And one, because of the camaraderie and the trade secrets that are flowing between all of the authors. But also because the gym that we're going to be in, it's like Disneyland. You literally can go from one ride, because books really do take you on a journey. You can go from one author to the next author, to the next author, to the next author, to the next author, and it really does transport you. One of the things that I wanted to say in terms of personal backlash, I have to say this, is that a lot of people asked where they were included in my book, because they wanted some of that royalty money. They said, is she me? And I immediately had to say no, because no, I can't pay everybody. You know. But one of the things I do have to say is sometimes people do push back because some of the trauma that they inflicted on the authors, they feel guilty about. And they want to hide those parts of themselves. There's a bully in my book. And in that book, I did a really good job to try to make that person not the person who really bullied me. And I think I did a good job because I saw him recently. And when he was approaching me, the thing that was running through my head was, I need to run. I need to hide. And he came up to me and he said, oh, my, that book was fire. By the way, who's Manny? Because he is a real. And I was thinking to myself, he doesn't realize that he's Manny. So
that's good, yeah. Yeah. But it looks like he internalized something about the character.
He definitely took a nice walk away.
Yeah, you better hope he's not listening tonight.
That's right. Well, I want to thank I want to thank you guys for coming out. It's again, you're honoring me by spending time here in the studio, and you're honoring Hudson by coming to the book festival. So thanks for doing that,
Hudson. Woo woo!
Yeah. And I'll lead us out with a song by request.